Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Java with Josh. I'm your host, legislator Josh Lafazan. Today we have a really exciting show with internal medicine physician Dr. Zaki Azam joining us. As we say every week, having big dreams is common, but figuring out how to achieve those dreams is rare. On this show, we interview some truly incredible people to share their journeys to success and give you the tools to reach your dreams. So grab your cup of Java and let's go. Zaki, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I know we've been talking about teaming up forever, so I'm so excited to be on the show.
We're excited to have you, and I know you're not being interviewed, you know, live from Times Square. And we're going to talk about that. I know this is a little more low stakes, but we're still grateful to have you. And I've always thought you were just an amazing guy. Obviously, you're an amazing healthcare professional now. But for our listeners who are meeting you for the first time, Dr. Zaki Azam is an internal medicine physician from Syosset, Long Island. He completed his training in New York City, and he went into medicine, aspiring to offer people assistance in the most vital aspects of their life, their health. He's passionate about global health and public health advocacy. His work has brought him to medical missions around the world, including Nicaragua, India, and China. His hobbies include traveling, having visited to more than 30 countries. That's amazing. And even more amazing, recently learning to fly himself. We're going to talk about that. And he loves to express his experiences through journalism and photography, and hopes to be a medical correspondent for a major news network in the future. There's so much to cover, but here's where I want to start. Did you always know you wanted to be a doctor, and why did you choose medicine?
Yeah, so first off, Josh, thank you for having me on the show. I'm so honored to be here. I've always been interested in helping people, and like I couldn't have said it better myself, in the most vital aspects of people's lives, their health. It's been something so important to me, being a part of people's sort of intimate life and being able to help them in any way that I can. And I thought for me, doing that through the practice of medicine was something that I could have the most help in hand in. And so I thought that I would pursue medicine. And up until this day, I have no regrets. I've been able to meet so many different people from so many different backgrounds with so many different medical conditions. And it's honestly made me a better doctor and a better person.
Well, I think that's really wonderful because, you go into a really difficult industry, and I guess what keeps you sustained is the fact that you thrive off getting people help. So many of our listeners, I mentioned this on another show, applications to med school and for public health programs are through the roof because people are realizing how integral public health and medicine are in society. So can you talk a little bit about the medical school process, do's and don'ts, what that was like? Because that's really impossible for so many people.
Yeah, you're right on the money. So the medical school process on the outside can be one of the most daunting processes that someone goes through in their lives. I've even talked to people who are so discouraged from applying to medicine because of the process in it of itself. I'm here to tell you guys today that really it's not that bad. If you have a passion for medicine, you will get there. You will do what you need and what it takes to get to where you need to be. And whether that's a doctor here in the United States, someone who is a doctor doing global health work abroad. For me, I combined my interests. So I was always interested in traveling, which you just mentioned, Josh. And so I thought, how can I combine my two interests together? I love traveling. I love helping people with their health. And I love being able to educate people as well. So I took a great interest in global health and preventative health measures and public health education. So even in clinic now, if I'm not in Nicaragua or India, I'm here in my own clinic being able to counsel patients on preventative health, things like the importance of vaccines and how we can eat better and live better. And so the work really starts here at home and then we can apply it elsewhere. And that's something that appealed to me.
So you heard it here first that you can do the application, but the other thing I hear, and I want to ask you your opinion on this, is I hear, Josh, I don't want to go to law school, for example, because I don't want to do the reading, I don't want to do the briefs, etc. Did you love med school? Was it a blast? What was med school like?
So med school in some ways is different than law school. It's a lot of conceptualization, which I love. I haven't really picked up a pen and written notes and books in a really long time. Medicine is all about conceptualizing the art, being able to sort of understand what processes go on in the body. So it all sort of makes sense. And, you know, when you're first starting off, it may not be as intuitive, but as you sort of learn the body and how it works and what mechanisms our body goes through to fight off infections and keep us healthy, it's all the same principles that are applied over and over again. So whoever, and you know, whoever's listening that may be interested in medicine, yeah, the road may seem tough at first, but it definitely does get easier because it's a lot of the same principles you apply from when you first start.
I think that's wonderful. And lo and behold, so I don't think you could have imagined that, you know, you'd be doing residency and you'd be in the field, you know, during a pandemic. What has work been like? You know, people ask, you know, what's work like? You have a very unique answer. What has work been like for you?
Yeah, Josh. So like during the pandemic in 2020, it was my first year as a doctor. And in so many ways, that was so scary for me. But at the end of the day, I trusted our education and the training that we receive, especially here in a place like New York City. We see so many diverse cases, so many different backgrounds, and so many different people. So when the COVID pandemic hit, I was definitely afraid of what was to come, but I was at the same time a little confident knowing we had such a solid background. And so lo and behold, we started, you know, getting cases one after the other. I personally was in the emergency room at that time. It was like late February, and that was sort of when it first started coming into our hospitals in New York City. I was actually covering someone who was sick because they actually happened to be sick for another reason. I thought I'd step up and sort of go to the emergency room to help out. And lo and behold, that was where I encountered the first COVID patient. And it was so unique to see because really, we had no understanding of what this thing was. We had no understanding of how we can treat it, how we can manage it, or how we as professional physicians can sort of help this patient. So they were without their families, they were without their loved ones. And in many ways, we had to put on not just our doctor hats, but we had to put on our researcher hats, our family hats, because we were their family. And that to me was so touching. That was one of the reasons I went into medicine, to be a part of people's personal lives. And this experience allowed me to be a part of their lives in a way beyond medicine.
I think it's so wonderful hearing you speak about this. And I do want to ask, what is the day-to-day like, right? So obviously my day-to-day in the legislature has shifted dramatically. You know, likewise, so many people's day-to-day has shifted, but I'm sure yours has shifted in terms of intensity and in terms of stakes. What is the day-to-day like for you?
Oh man, the day-to-day, it varies so much. You never know what's coming through that door. And honestly, in many ways, you have to be ready for it. With COVID going on with Dr. Fauci and his expertise, we're seeing more applications in the med school cycle. I'm actually on one of the med school admission committees, and we're seeing a huge influx of applications. And I think part of that reason is because people are so inspired by what they're seeing, their heroes and the workers in the hospital, from nurses and physical therapists and pharmacists to doctors and beyond. So I'm so incredibly grateful to be a part of that and so humbled to be someone who can help out during this time.
And likewise, can you walk us through, you know, everyone has a unique assessment on COVID, right? I mean, you turn on different TV stations, you hear different takes about COVID. You are in the deli or wherever you are. Everyone has a unique take. What is your take on COVID, where we are and kind of where we're going?
Yeah, you're right. Everyone's an expert on COVID these days, right? So it's a matter of perspective. You know, it depends who you ask. You know, some people in certain parts of the country will tell you we're doing great, but some people in other parts of the country will tell you we're not doing so great. And so my perspective is that we're getting there, but we're not actually there yet. We still have a lot of work to do. We always hear the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, the vaccinations are here, you know, we see hope, but what does that actually mean? I do believe that vaccines are a light at the end of the tunnel, but it's not just the light that matters. It's about how we get to that light. And so for me, part of the thing that I'm doing with each and every patient that I encounter is taking an extra 1 or 2 minutes, whether it's an extra 1 or 2 minutes, just to counsel and educate them on the importance of what a vaccine means to them. And you know, you'd be surprised how many people come in so against vaccinations and not understanding what exactly it means and what exactly it does. But by the end of our encounter, I'm happy to say that a lot of these patients sort of understand what it can do for us. And I think that education, like I said before, public health education is so important because yeah, we have something as beneficial as a vaccine, but if we don't understand the importance of it, we'll never be able to reap its benefits.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And you know, of course, it's been frustrating being at the local level and watching what I see as a lack of urgency, for so long on the vaccine rollout from you know, higher levels of government. So I'll ask you as well, do you see us going back to normal in the summer and the fall and next year, 2022? When do you see things kind of going back to normal in your opinion?
I think honestly, that depends on how we sort of take accountability. It comes down to the communities, honestly, all across the nation. How are we gonna step up? If we all do our individual parts, I do believe by the fall, in the coming fall, we can realize some sort of normalcy. You know, maybe even without masks one day, which seems like such an odd reality now. But, you know, it all comes down to each and every one of us. If we all do our parts, you know, that time will come sooner than we know it. But at the same expense, if we don't do our parts and if we don't recognize what a crucial moment this is for all of us, then this can also go on for a very long time. And so I do have my hopes, but my hopes come with a bit of a reservation, and I hope that we can get there hopefully soon.
I hope so as well. I know I'd love to, you know, we're way overdue for lunch, so I'd love to see you soon. I know we're doing this over Zoom, but I do have to ask you, so here I'm sitting with my family watching TV New Year's Eve, watching Rockin' Eve, and I see you on TV. I did a double take. I said, is that Zaggy? How did that happen?
Oh my God, I am so incredibly humbled and honored. And it wasn't just me, it should be noted that it was my sister who was also a pharmacist on Long Island at Northwell, Syosset Northwell, and my father who was a New York City MTA transit worker, a civil engineer. We were called upon by the mayor's office in New York City, and what an incredible honor it was. They invited us to see the ball drop on New Year's Eve at Times Square. And you know, Josh, I'll tell you, I've lived in New York, you've known me my whole life, and I have always lived here, but I've never gone to see the ball drop. So being invited to such a momentous occasion and being celebrated as one of the heroes of 2020, I believe there was 30 or so families that were invited. We were so incredibly humbled and honored, and it gives us motivation and it gives us light to continue to do the work that we're doing and continue to help out the communities that we're helping out. And, you know, I'm always open to advice and suggestions. So whenever anyone has advices and suggestions on how to get better, I'm the first one to take it. And so I am so incredibly honored, and I can speak for my sister, my father, and my mother, who actually is a doctor herself and was working that night with COVID patients. She wasn't able to make it, but I'm so honored that they chose our family to be there.
And we'll take us through it, because, you know, like, I've never been to New Year's Eve celebration in Times Square ever. It was empty. It was literally just you and Ryan Seacrest. What was it? What, I mean, was it surreal? Was it like dystopian? Was it uplifting? What was it like?
Oh my God, it was so surreal. I don't even know how to describe it. It was like we were getting rid of like a distant past, and the future could not come any sooner. And, you know, for me, my family is so important. So if 2020 brought us anything, it was family. So I was so excited to be ending off 2020 with family and beginning 2021 with family. But you're so right. There really wasn't that much of a crowd. We were able to see the ball like it was basically our own, like, backyard. And Ryan Seacrest, he ended up coming over to our family, and he wanted to hear more of our story. And when he understood that this was my first year being a doctor during the pandemic, and my sister and my father helping out as well, he actually asked us if we'd be okay with being on TV and if he'd be able to shout us out. And we're like, absolutely.
It was absolutely surreal. And by the way, have you gotten a lot of calls on it? And B, I think, you know, you're probably going to be on TV today. Has this media blitz continued?
Yes, it's been continuing, Josh. It's so surreal, and I'm so honored. I was actually, so as part of the experience, they actually paid for a hotel for us that night, as well as a five-course dinner and all that, which was so humbling and so rewarding. But I was going out of the hotel the next morning just to grab some breakfast, and I see NBC News just waiting outside for our family to do an interview. And we, like you just said, yeah, like the New York Times also contacted me, Pix 11, a bunch of other news stations, and most recently News 12, today at 5 p.m. Will be a segment as well. So we're so honored. You know, I'm glad to get the Long Island name and our work out there, because I do have a lot of Syosset pride. So I'm just catching up to what you've accomplished.
Well, listen, it's mutual respect and admiration without a doubt. I just love, there's so much doom and gloom on the news. So the fact that they could tell a good story, the fact that you could put that big smile on the news, I think is awesome. But I want to segue and ask you, because you know, there's the Dos Equis most interesting man in the world. You're up there. I mean, because not only are you a medical professional, but you do so much more. So I want to talk about this for a second. So you visited 30 countries, yeah, recently, and you learned to fly. Can you talk a little bit about both?
Yeah, so like I mentioned earlier in this segment, I love traveling and I love medicine, and I thought, how can I combine the two? So it started off first with being able to volunteer in places like India and you know, very poor countries, especially in the Western Hemisphere, like Nicaragua, being able to bring my medical knowledge and helping out these communities who honestly have never even seen a doctor in their lives. They put on their best clothes to come see us, and it was such a humbling and unique experience being able to sort of help these people who otherwise had nothing. And so I knew that travel was a huge, huge deal for me, and being able to do global health and providing humanitarian aid in low resource countries. And then I thought, you know, why just limit it to medicine? I have so many different hobbies and so many different interests that I like to explore. So I thought, why not start learning how to fly? And I credit this to my lovely sister. My sister was the first one who got me a flying lesson, and it's been just taken off, no pun intended, ever since. I've taken so many different lessons. I haven't gotten my license yet, but you know, hopefully one day. And I love traveling. And you know, once this pandemic is over, I hope to be back up in the air, hopefully very soon.
Well, I'm so excited to see that journey continue. I want to ask you the importance of traveling. Obviously, COVID has put a halt to a lot of this, but I hear this from so many of my friends who do travel, way more than me, you know, way more than the average person, that it's enriching, that learning about different cultures and places, it actually helps make them better people. You know, can you talk a little bit about the importance of travel and maybe even to inspire people to travel post-COVID?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for me, it's not even just limited to medicine. I went to China trying to learn about herbal medicine, because the way they practice medicine there is so very different than how we practice it here in the Western Hemisphere. And so I went to China to increase my knowledge about traditional therapies and medicine. And that was such a unique experience for me. And, you know, not just in medicine, but, you know, traveling to countries like Morocco or South Africa, two of my favorites, I think I've learned so much about history, about culture, about different foods, about different music, and just seeing how much of history can be so relevant to today. And like South Africa, you know, just mentioning that, the history of Nelson Mandela and what he did down there was not that long ago. And seeing that play out in person and being able to see, you know, white people and black people integrating in everyday society is so significant. And I think it's something everyone should experience, especially in today's day and age, where tolerance and respectability for different people is so, so vital. And it's not something that can be learned, but it definitely is something that can be experienced.
Well, I love that. And speaking of kind of looking towards the future, I have to ask, you know, what do the next 10 years look like for you? I mean, obviously, I know you can't think of the next 10 minutes because your head is spinning with everything you're doing. But what is the next 10 years like, you know, look like for you?
Yeah, you know, I've always had big aspirations and hopes for myself, and hopefully I'll be able to attain them one day. But, you know, I would love to continue my interest in global health, my interest in medical education and public health education, being able to educate our communities. And, you know, I think, like you said before, I am really interested in literature and verbal speaking. And so I do hope to be a medical correspondent for a major news network one day. And hey, maybe I'll take you up on your offer to be health commissioner with you one day.
I will tell you right now, I make very few promises in politics. You would be an exceptional commissioner of health. But it leads me to my last question. I ask every single guest this question, and you're somebody who, again, we grew up together. I've watched you grow, learn, achieve, inspire. What would be the biggest piece of advice that you would give to your younger self, knowing all that you know now?
I think I would just say, follow your heart, follow your passions. I think you shouldn't worry too much about what the next step is, because if you are passionate enough and you love what you do, the next few steps will always fall into place. And that's not just advice for myself, but anyone else listening out there that wants to pursue medicine or anything beyond, you know, keep your eyes open. Don't just focus on the trees, but think of the bigger picture, the forest, if you may, because that is really what will help you get to help you achieve your dreams. And so I would just, you know, tell myself to, you know, keep doing what I'm doing and keep my family close and my friends like you close, because these are supporters that will help you in helping you get to your goals. And hopefully if you try one day, you will attain them.
I tell you what, betting on your success is a sure thing, because the way you approach life and wanting to help people, earnestly wanting to make a difference, and wanting to live life to the fullest, I think we could all learn from. We will have you back on the show soon. We will do lunch as well soon, but from all of us here at Java with Josh, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Josh.
Thanks so much for tuning in. And thank you to Dr. Zaki Azam for an amazing conversation. Make sure to click subscribe to our podcast and check us out on Instagram and Facebook for videos and bonus features. I'd also love to hear your questions and comments. Feel free to shoot me an email at josh@joshlafazan.com. I'm legislator Josh Lafazan, and thanks for joining us for Java with Josh.